We are reading the scriptures again from Numbers chapter 21. Numbers chapter 21. And we'll just read a little portion there of those nine verses we read earlier, beginning there at verse 8. Numbers 21, verse 8. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass, and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. God's ways are so unlike man's ways. When God plans events, and when God plans to use certain people, He has His own special ways of dealing with people. I am not going to apologize about mentioning Brother Martin Luther again, because when God chose to use Martin Luther, He blessed Luther even at birth and in his growing up years with a great intellect and also with strong passions. But before Martin could be used by Almighty God to turn the world upside down, he had to be brought down even to see his own utter weaknesses, his physical weaknesses and his weaknesses within, even in regard to the things of God and the matters that are spiritual. Around his college days, during that time, three events came into his life to show Martin his utter weakness in regard to physical life on this earth. The group of friends, his circle of college friends, were somewhat rowdy, and they would occasionally get into brawls. Well, in one of those normal brawls, one of his good friends was killed. And Martin asked himself, what if it had been me? A second event happened, the last two events were both as he was traveling between where he was going to school and his home. And in one of those journeys, his sword slipped out of the scabbard, and it cut his leg so deeply that the main artery was severed. And he immediately sent for help, but he was about to bleed to death. And he was afraid that he was going to die right there on the road. But his friend was able to get him medical help that arrived in time just to save his life. And of course, on that well-known third occasion, there was a thunderstorm, probably something like it was today. I heard a big boom of thunder nearby, and I'm sure there was a flash of lightning. Well, the lightning struck very near to Luther, and he fell on the ground, and he made a vow. He made a vow that he would give his life rather than in what he was pursuing. He would pursue to serve God. Well, these three events showed him his physical frailty and how easily he could die. But his strong intellect and his passions also had to be humbled. In the monastery, Luther tried every human way, every possible skill to become pure and just before God. Every effort failed him. And Martin was in despair and nearly died because he nearly starved himself to death. And finally, praise God, he was led to the Holy Scriptures. And in the Scriptures, he saw that we are saved, that we are justified by faith only, resting and relying completely on Christ's atoning death. And it is that that puts away our sin and our condemnation. Well, the children of Israel, we're facing a similar situation here in Numbers chapter 21. And some of the Bible scholars tell us some very interesting things in regard to this passage. The children of Israel had left Egypt in obedience to God and to the call that God gave through Moses, and yet many of them had not experienced real saving faith in the Lord. Thousands of them struggled and died through those 40 years in the wilderness. And at this point in Numbers 21, some of the Bible scholars tell us that this was actually nearing the final year of their wandering. That so many of those years, maybe even 39, had already passed over. But King Arad came out and fought Israel and had taken some of them prisoners. Well, therefore, Israel cried unto the Lord, and they made a vow to him that if he would deliver Arad and his people into their hands, they would utterly destroy them. Well, God answered and gave them a great victory. But such is human nature that our memory of God's blessing is often very short-lived. And it's just so astounding. But do we not see in the mirror of Holy Scriptures our own faces often reflected to us? Instead of singing his praises every day, even when the trials came, as the trials always come, what did they do? Well, the way got pretty tough. If you notice in verse 4, and as they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom, the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. Very easy to read that, but when you look at the map, and you see what they had to go through? They had to go through a very mountainous region. And you can imagine a great multitude with children and all of their possessions and all of these things they had. It was very difficult going through the mountain, up a mountain, down a mountain, up another mountain. I'm telling you, I got pretty tired of mountains when I was in Mexico. But imagine these people having to walk up them and carry little children and all kinds of, they were discouraged. It says it so simply here. They were much discouraged because of the way. So quickly said. But they had so many miles over so many mountains to go, and they were just, oh, why are we doing this? And what happened? The tongues began to wag. And what a fire of hell the tongue kindles. And the spirit of complaining took over. And the recent victory that God had given them was forgotten. And Israel dared to speak against the very God who had answered their prayers. They dared to openly complain against God's goodness in providing manna every day. And they said, there's nothing to eat. And we're tired of this light bread, they called it. Our soul loatheth, verse 5, our soul loatheth this light bread. Well, it was really good. It was like wafers made with honey. And what can you think about but a honey realm, you know? And I don't despise those. I like those. But because of the hardship of this travel, the way they were going, they were discouraged and they complained and they spoke against God and against Moses. Even though God had been supplying them food and water for these many, many years in the wilderness already, they were griping and complaining. So the Lord sent fiery serpents, these snakes, to kill a multitude of the people that would not enter into the promised land. There were still many of them that God had said would die in the wilderness, especially the older generation. Verse 7 tells us. Okay, verse 6, I'm sorry. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. There were so many people dying. And therefore the people came to Moses, and they began, first of all, doing the right thing. They confessed their sin. What did they say? They said there to him, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee." They had been doing that. Their sin was forgetting the goodness and power of God in the recent victory. And in a very unthankful and complaining way, they were not happy with the Lord's provision for them. What an evil spirit. You know, it's a great mercy from God when He reminds us of our sin, and when the Lord moves us to confess our sin and to even repent of them. Well, God answered Moses' prayer, but the people didn't get exactly what they asked for. What did they ask for? They wanted the Lord to take the serpents away. Verse 7, they said, "Pray unto the Lord that He take away the serpents from us." We want these things to be gone. Well, the Lord had sent the snakes to the people, and He was not going to take them away just yet. Because you notice it says there in verse 6, "And the Lord sent fiery serpents." Now, He was using the snakes to teach Israel something of the true way of salvation. These particularly terrible snakes of that region could do like rattlesnakes do, and they could leap a considerable distance to bite their victims. So no doubt the people were not just being bitten on their feet and on their legs, but all over the body by these horrible beasts. What had kept the snakes away from them before? It had been the good providence of God. But now the snakes were needed. And so the Lord brought them, the snakes, in great numbers. So the Lord sent these snakes among the people of Israel, and many were dead and dying all around the camp. And God commanded Moses to make a shining serpent of brass and lift it up high on a pole so that it could be seen throughout the camp. The many thousands of Israel could see it, so that it could be looked upon as the way to be cured from the fatal bite of these snakes. Now, why a brass serpent? It was showing the destroyer destroyed. Not an actual serpent. God didn't tell Moses, "Kill one of these and hang it up on the pole." No, that would have destroyed the type. The Lord Jesus Christ referred to this right before John 3:16. Not an actual serpent, but one like it without any venom in it. Because it was a type or picture of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus, who came not in sinful flesh, no venom in Him, but in the likeness of sinful flesh. Romans 8:3 tells us, God made Christ to be sin for us on the cross. Though He had never sinned, He was accounted to be the very worst of sinners because He was bearing all of all our sin in His own body on the tree, so that by Him we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Meaning that because God accounted His own precious eternal Son to be sin for us, to be accounted as sin in our place, so that we could be accounted as the very righteousness of God in Him. Well, I believe that many of the unbelieving older generation died off even from this awful event of the serpent bites. And probably many of all different age groups were dying all over the camp, even as it took a while when God told Moses to make a serpent of brass. It took a while to get the brass, to melt the brass, to form the brass, to get it affixed to the pole and get the pole up on a hill so that all would be able to see it. But what was the cure? Just a look. Just a look. Just to behold. Many were no doubt too weak to crawl to the pole. Many were too far gone even to raise their voice in prayer. But even the weak and dying could give a look, a glance at the uplifted serpent. The Lord calls to us and to any lost soul. In Isaiah 45:22, what does He say? Look unto me. You don't have to do any works of merit. Just look unto me and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth, for I am God and there's none else. It's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Isaiah 45:22. Praise God. There's life for a look at the crucified one.